This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Glad you chose to come out. I'd like to tell you a story this morning that starts a number of years ago when I was in high school, and there's a company that had a local office. It was a large company, but they had a local office in our town, and you know, quite a number of my friends actually worked for this company. It was known to be a good company, and a lot of the people that I knew worked there. So I had met their boss, and I was intrigued by him. I thought, you know, they had openings for part-time workers. Why not? So I started working there part-time. And for a number of years, it continued. My friends and I would work together there. A lot of times I got to work with them, evenings and Saturdays and so forth, weekends. After graduating from high school, I continued to work there part-time in addition to some other jobs that I had there in the area. Now, the job didn't pay very well, but frankly, at that age, it's not a big deal. I was enjoying the work and got to work alongside my friends, so this is all good. I also started to learn to know some of the full-time employees there. So there were a lot of part-timers that were there, but I also started to learn to know some of the full-time workers, and they were some really nice people. A lot of what makes a workplace are the people, right? So they also seemed to love their jobs, which is something that intrigued me. So a friend of mine, one of my good friends in my area, actually started working for the company full time, and he transferred to one of their offices in South Africa. Now, it's not every company that has offices around the world. This particular one did, and so he actually transferred to their office in South Africa. He was doing working full time for them, and I had the opportunity to visit him and see the kind of work he was doing. The work intrigued me. It's good stuff that they were doing, but frankly, it didn't feel like it really fit me. Now, the intrigue of living in South Africa was neat, but that type of work, yeah, not so much. You know, it was a few years later that I visited one of their offices in North Carolina, and I realized they had openings for accountants. Now, that's something that I had done for several years after high school, in addition to this part-time job that I had, but I had learned that I actually really enjoy accounting. I enjoy working with numbers. I enjoy working with computers. It's a great fit for me. Didn't realize this company needed accountants. Guess I could have known a company that size, you know, would need accountants somewhere. So I was intrigued. And in 2009, I signed up to work for the company full-time. I still work there full-time. And it is not a decision that I have regretted to begin working there full-time. I found out that in addition to openings for accountants, there's also openings for everyone from doctors and lawyers to airline pilots to teachers. There's openings for school teachers. There's openings for homemakers. There's openings for farmers, construction workers, truckers. Anyone you can imagine can get a full-time job in this company. By now, you may have guessed that the company I'm talking about is not actually a for-profit company, but instead is the kingdom of God. You know, as I've looked into the details of the kingdom of God and the work that has been done by the kingdom, in the kingdom, around the world, historically, the kingdom has opened more schools worldwide than any other government or company. The kingdom has started more hospitals than any other organization. The kingdom does more to bring clean water and energy and so forth to parts of the world that are underprivileged than anything else, any other company or government. They have offices in every country of the world. And the stories of people's lives who've been transformed by the work of the kingdom are mind-blowing. Today, in addition to my accounting work, I sometimes say that I'm also in recruiting because there are so many openings. The harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. So today I want to inspire you to maybe go full-time in this company. As I said earlier, there's a lot of part-time workers. There's a lot of people like me as I was growing up, seeing the kingdom of God as sort of something you do in the evenings, something you do on Saturdays, something you do on Sunday afternoons, you know, whether it's passing out tracts, whether it's ministry in a prison and so forth. You do that part-time, and then you have your real job. You have your full-time job that you do. I was at JARS in North Carolina. They are associated with or affiliated with Wycliffe Bible Translators, when I realized that there's a need for every kind of occupation in the kingdom of God, not just what we think of as missionaries. So what is this kingdom that I'm talking about? Well, I'd like to read a couple of passages hearing from Jesus describing the kingdom and what he has to say about that. One is taken from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it." So what do we learn about the kingdom from this verse? Well, one thing is that the kingdom has intrinsic value. The value of the kingdom is not based merely on what it does or who is in the kingdom. It is based on the kingdom itself. There is value within it. It is also costly. It's a pearl of great price. You have to sell. In this story, the merchant sold everything he had in order to buy it. It's costly, but it's not inaccessible. Everyone can own it for themselves if we're willing to pay the price. It's costly. It's not inaccessible. Another illustration that Jesus used, he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Our work impacts the growth of the kingdom. It's something that is just amazing. God has entrusted the work of the kingdom to you and me. And our work impacts the growth of the kingdom. However, even though our work does impact the growth of the kingdom has life in itself. The growth of the kingdom, while it is impacted by your work, does not depend on your work. The growth of the kingdom is rooted in the kingdom itself, not merely in the work of the people who are in the kingdom. We are called to work. We're called to be full-time employees, if you will. But ultimately, the growth comes from the nature of the kingdom, not because of our efforts. 1 Timothy, Paul, writing from prison, says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." You see, from these verses, there is an eternal reality behind the scenes. There is more going on in the world than what we see with our physical eyes. And you are invited to be part of that reality. Your actions will determine your rewards for all eternity. And yet, even though our actions determine our rewards, even though our actions impact the kingdom's growth is not necessarily based on your actions because of the intrinsic growth in the kingdom. So if I would summarize these three passages, I would say that, in summary, there is a kingdom. It's alive and growing. And you're invited to participate. There are a lot of illustrations that I could use this morning to demonstrate the call of God and what it might look like to be involved in the kingdom. The one I've chosen this morning is going to involve a lot of you helping me out. So I'm going to be asking for a bunch of volunteers. I'll just say in advance, this doesn't get scary. All you need to do is stand up here and hold a sign. Okay? Can you do that? All right. So I need, let's say, three people to come up, and I want you to represent lost people this morning. Three people. You got one. You can make this as awkward and as slow. I don't know if half of you will be up here till it's all said and done. All right, I'm going to have you stand over about the end of that row of chairs. Okay, we have our lost people this morning. Now I need two people who are going to serve as my missionaries. Okay, in a group like this, that should be easier. Okay, we've got one. And I'm going to have you go the other direction, actually. All right, one more. Okay, thank you. Right, right over here. All right, very good. So I need you to stand, about the end of those chairs over there. There's a long distance between our missionaries and the lost people, okay? There are a lot of people that are needed in mission work to get our missionaries over to our lost people, okay? So my goal this morning is to kind of give you a picture of what that could look like. All right, I need, do we have any parents here this morning? I need some parents. Okay, both of you. I'm going to have you, and the way we're going to do this is you're going to come to the end of the line over here, and you're going to move our missionaries this direction. So eventually we're going to see if we can get them the whole way over to the lost people. All right, so we have parents. Now, it's hard to have missionaries without parents, right? I mean, just physically speaking, how do you get there? But it's not just any parents that end up producing missionaries. We need godly parents. We need parents who are also inspired with missions. One of my earliest memories of hearing about missions is in the evenings after supper when Mom would pull out the budget. Now, a lot of you are probably familiar with, you know, pulling out the budget. Fascinating thing was she wasn't reading articles from, you know, relatives and Freundschaft from here and there. She was reading the pieces from Ukraine. She was reading the pieces from Romania. She was, at a very early age, she was instilling in me what is important in the world. What are these stories that we should be paying attention to and listening to? So we need our parents. We need good parents to get our missionaries over to the lost people. One person to be their school teacher. All right, thank you. And that moves the whole line a little closer. We need school teachers who are inspired about missions. We need school teachers who are also willing to teach the basics. How are you going to have good missionaries unless they learn to read, unless they learn to write, unless they learn to communicate effectively, unless they learn the history of where we've been and where we're going, what the trajectory is. Do we have any ministers here this morning? In that case, do I have a volunteer to fill in? All right, thank you. Ministers, in addition to teaching our people, in addition to teaching our children and our youth academics, we also need ministers who are willing to preach and to give them a good background theologically so that they're prepared to go out on the field. All right, we need another person to be our board member. All right, very good. That's going to move the group a little further over. This is board members are a group of people that are very, in some cases, very underappreciated and unnoticed. They serve behind the scenes. I've served on several boards. I've worked with a lot of board members in my work, and I've realized the incredible amount of agonizing and work that goes into being a board member. There's a lot of behind the scenes logistics. There's a lot of behind the scenes prayer and building relationships with people that are willing to support the mission that board members do. They're crucial in getting our missionaries over there. We need a business owner. Where's our business owner this morning? All right, we got one coming in the back here. Business owners, what do we need business owners for? Oh, everybody knows they have lots of money, right? We need business owners for money. Well, yeah, that's one of the things we need them for. Do you ever think about the fact that when returned missionaries come over on furlough, they often work, fill in part-time for some place and get paid for it because, you know, they want to make some money? Ever think about the fact that our school teachers, especially during the summer, they need jobs? Who hires them? It's the business owners. That is a ministry that our businesses have that few people think about, is the fact that we're actually offering jobs and also offering jobs to young people and helping them develop their skills, helping them develop their abilities to make them good people. Think about that in my work. I've had a number of high schoolers that come into my business for a few years and then go on to other things. One of my goals as a business owner is to make them better people than when they arrived. If I can make them equipped and skilled in doing accounting anywhere in the world that they go, then I've done my job. So, we need business owners. Where's our doctor this morning? All right, got volunteer here. Excellent. We need a doctor. What do we need a doctor for? Well, if you've ever gone overseas, you'll know that before you go, well, there's immunizations, there's all this stuff, all this medical stuff. We also need doctors on the field, of course, but we need doctors who are willing to help train our missionaries in basic medical skills before they go. We also need doctors who are actually willing to research some of these tropical diseases and so forth. One of my cousins was over in Thailand visiting a friend of hers, and she came back and got sick, and the doctors in the U.S. couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She went to various doctors, finally went to a doctor who specialized in Asian diseases. He took a look at the symptoms, diagnosed it, gave her medication, she was better, and it really wasn't that big a deal. Where are the doctors in our Anabaptist circles who are specializing in overseas diseases? We need more doctors in our conservative Anabaptist circles. Okay, I need another volunteer. All right, this one I had to ask for the volunteer before I showed you what you are, because I'm not sure anybody would volunteer for this one. No, I'm kidding. Where are our lawyers? We need our lawyers. Have you ever tried to work through immigration paperwork? That is when I am grateful that we have lawyers. I'm so grateful that we have them to help us set up the mission board, to help us set up the behind-the-scenes structure of how these mission boards are going to work and so forth. We need lawyers. We need more of them in our Anabaptist circles. And I'm glad to have one here this morning. Where are you? There you are. There you go. Thank you. Thank you for your work. Okay, carpenter. Where's our carpenter? All right, got a carpenter. What do we need the carpenters for? Well, there's plenty of disaster response projects, of course, that we need them. That's on the front lines. We also need where are missionaries going to live when they get over there? You don't want me building their house before they get there. We need our carpenter. We need our carpenter who's willing to actually make space in his schedule to fly overseas and do the building project for the ministry, who's willing to actually be involved in the mission. All right, we need a pilot. Where's our pilot? All right, we got a pilot.
Do you actually have your pilot's license, Norm?
Okay, I thought you might. I thought you might, working there in Canada. We need a pilot. Where are the pilots who are willing to get them overseas? And our missionaries are getting pretty close here to the lost people. We need pilots who are also willing to fly them from place to place over on the field. And are willing to help do the logistics and so forth. We need a graphic designer. Where's a graphic designer? Thank you. What do we need graphic designers for? What do they have to do with getting missionaries on the field? Well, they're the difference between a newsletter that looks like just a plain printed letter with just a bunch of text and you kind of leave it lie on the kitchen counter, and a newsletter that you see and you say, oh, I want to read that. What's going on there? This is exciting what God's doing. We need a graphic designer who is actually skilled in what he does, can take the stories from the field and put them in a format that people in the U.S. can actually understand and that we're going to actually enjoy reading and participating with the ministry. We need an accountant. Right. What do we need accountants for? Well, we need them to handle all the money, right? We need accountants to communicate with donors as well. I've been in enough. I've worked with enough organizations over the years to know that these things don't just happen. And you really need someone who knows their numbers and knows how to keep them in an orderly fashion. Otherwise, you can end up with a huge mess, similar to what happens when you don't have a lawyer. All right, where's our email writer? Okay, we don't have enough ladies up here. We need some ladies volunteering be our email writer. There we go, thank you. Why do we need email writers? Well, if you've ever been on the field, you begin to realize how lonely it feels when you don't hear anything from anyone. You begin to wonder if they've maybe forgotten about us or exactly what is going on. We need email writers. We need email writers who are willing to be involved, to stay in touch with the people on the field, encourage them. And also, then it goes the other way when the emails come back, share that with home congregations and so forth. All right, I think we pretty much got our missionaries over there. I have one more, and that is prayer warriors. I need three people for this one. All right, come on up. One, two, three, excellent. This one, I think, is fairly self-explanatory. What do we need these people for? We need them to do the work of the kingdom that you don't see. There is so much going on behind the scenes that we never see, that we never appreciate. We need these prayer warriors to bring the needs before God, to be communicating with God, to be thinking together with him what is going on in the world, and doing battle against the powers of darkness. I don't know what goes through your mind when you look at this list. What goes through my mind is the fact that we all have a place, actually. I don't know where your place is today. I don't know what you find yourself involved in. I don't know what you feel yourself called to. But we all have a place this morning. The missionaries aren't going to be getting to the lost people by themselves. There's a verse in Romans. Paul says, how will they preach unless they're sent? And it's kind of a rhetorical question. The implied answer is they won't. How can they get there unless they have the support of all these people, supporting them, training them, equipping them, sending them to the field? Thank you very much for your participation. You can go back to your seats. Here's the other thing that I think about when I see a list like this, or I see a group of people like this. That is the fact that if you don't have one of them, I mentioned earlier that the work does get done. I mentioned earlier that the work gets done whether or not you participate, and that's true. However, every link in the chain is crucial to getting the job done. Missing links in the chain are simply compensated for by pulling someone from another part of the chain. Here's a problem with that. We end up with mediocre newsletters because the carpenter was the person who ended up designing the newsletter rather than the graphic designer. We end up with accounting nightmares because the board member who had no accounting experience had to step in. We end up with a leaking roof because I was on the construction crew. You don't want the accountants on the construction crew. Every kingdom worker is both gifted and needed. The work will get done, but God gifts his people for every kind of work that needs to be done in the kingdom. The work will get done, whether or not you participate. I'm reminded of a verse from Esther, where I believe it was her cousin was saying, if you don't stand up, and if you don't go to the king, and if you don't take advantage of this position you've been given, there will be deliverance that will arise from another source. But what about you? What about the fact that you said no when God called you? The work will get done. But work without the skilled worker lacks both joy and efficiency. Have you ever tried to install a screw with a pocket knife? can be done. You know, the blade is about the right size and their shape anyway. Ever tried to install a screw with a pocket knife? If you've ever done it, you know the value of having the right tool for the right job. The work will get done, but work without a skilled worker lacks both efficiency and joy. So, I have a few practical pointers that I'd like to give for kingdom workers. Jake, I'm wondering what my where I'm at as far as time-wise. I forgot to check. Thank you. A couple of practical pointers to think about as you think about joining the kingdom and where your role might be, what your role might be in the kingdom. One is pay attention to your decisions. What is it that you are deciding to do today, especially with your time, also with your money, but especially with your time? Where are you spending your time? What are you doing with your time? Are you choosing to spend your time hunting, or are you choosing to spend your time learning a new skill? Are you choosing to spend your money on a new jacket, or are you investing in a foreign language course? Are you learning to take pictures that will get the most likes on Instagram? Or are you learning to design eye-catching newsletters? What are you doing? What decisions are you making today? I get it. It's easier to watch a YouTube video about the guy making the perfect shot in basketball than it is to study for your GED or your SAT. Yeah, it's easier to pick up a magazine than a textbook. It just is. It's also more popular to drive a truck to work than drive a car that costs half as much and gets twice as good fuel mileage. What are you doing with the time and the money that God has entrusted to you? What decisions are you making, and how will that impact what you do in the kingdom? The second thing I would challenge you to do is become excellent wherever God calls you. Are you called to be a business owner? Surround yourself with kingdom-minded business owners, with other business owners who are hiring the return missionaries, who are giving extensively to the kingdom. Surround yourself with other good men and inspire them as well to become more kingdom-focused. Are you called to be a homemaker? Learn everything you can about hospitality. What's it look like to host people well? I admire those who can host people well. There's a difference. When you get into their homes, you just feel it. The whole atmosphere just feels welcoming and warm. What makes the difference? Figure that out. Maybe you know that people who are currently serving outside of their home, outside of your home area, tonight would be a good time to write them an email. Let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know that, you know, you appreciate what they do and you appreciate the sacrifice that they're making in the kingdom. Maybe you're the one that's called to be the email writer. Are you called to be a doctor? You know, now's probably a good time to be thinking about college this fall. Speaking from personal experience, you can actually be a student online while you're working full-time. You can, with today's technology, you can actually do that. Yes, it will mean studying probably 2 to 3 evenings a week and maybe all day Saturday. It will mean a lot of time. It will mean that you have to prioritize and cut out a lot of other things. But what are you deciding to do? Are you deciding to just do what everyone else is doing? Are you deciding to be actively involved in the kingdom? So I hear people sometimes say, well, one of my callings is to make money so that I can give to the kingdom. That's terrific. We need people like that. Here's the thing. When I look at some of these people, I think, you know, it would make sense if that was your calling, if I would see you as the most frugal and the most industrious person in my area. Wouldn't it be reasonable to think that if your calling is to give money to the kingdom, that you would probably drive the oldest car, you would buy your clothes at the thrift store, you would not be going out to eat, at least not very often. Wouldn't that be reasonable if one of your callings in life is to give money? I think of a quote by John Wesley who said, "Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can." could very well be your calling, to give financially to support the kingdom. But what decisions are you making if that's your calling? Third point that I have this morning, and I don't put this one last because it's least important. I put it because I want you to be thinking about this as you leave today, and that is to learn to know the King and his workers. Don't become so busy in the work that you're doing for the kingdom that you forget to know the King. Spend time discussing his goals with him. He has goals for the world too. He has goals for your life. He has goals for everything that happens, and we need to spend time with him to discuss those goals with him. How can I be involved? What are you doing in the world? He's the motivator, he's the sustainer, and ultimately he's the one who makes our work succeed. I'm struck by the fact that the resurrection occurred on a Sunday. I don't think it just happened by accident. There's a transition from the Old Testament. The Old Testament talks about how we rest because of the work that we did. Okay, God rested on the Sabbath because he, as a model for us, we work 6 days, we rest one day. The New Testament suddenly turns that on its head and puts the day of rest at the beginning of the week. Ever thought about how odd that is? The main difference is that in the Old Testament, there was a work that needed to be done to earn God's favor. There's all these sacrifices. There's all this way of living. The New Testament is not that way. The New Testament in Hebrews talks about laboring to enter the rest that God has given us. And from that rest, on the first day of the week, comes our work. Instead of our work earning our rest, our work is now an extension or a living out of our rest. God gives us rest, and then we work in gratitude and in response to that rest. Entering into the rest that God has for us in our relationship with him takes a lot of work. It requires prioritizing our time and our energy, and it's a lifelong pursuit. It's not something that will happen overnight. But learn to know the King. Learn to know the King and what he's doing in this world, and get inspired by that. And while you're learning to know the King, learn to know his workers too. They're some of the best people that you will ever meet. Those relationships will give you inspiration to pursue not only your relationship with God, but also to pursue the work that he has for you around the world. You know, I mentioned that I started out a number of years ago as a part-time worker in the kingdom, and I kind of thought that that's normal. That's what I saw mirrored in a lot of the people that I grew up with. We have our regular jobs, and then we do kingdom work, you know, nights and weekends and so forth, right? Started out as a part-time worker. I was interested in the work. I thought it was good work that was being done, but it didn't really seem to be full-time for me. That shifted. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You're given a choice in the kingdom. You're given a choice to be a part-time worker. You're given a choice to be a full-time worker. There's an indication from the scripture that I read that even if you're a part-time worker, or even if you aren't maybe dedicating your life to work in the kingdom, you will most likely get to heaven. As long as you have a relationship with Jesus, you will get to heaven. But at what cost? On the other hand, full-time workers in the kingdom are promised that their work will be revealed for what it truly is, with its gold, silver, precious stones. And what a difference between that and wood, hay, and stubble that just goes up in smoke. What a waste of our lives if we get to the end of our lives and realize there was so much more that we could have done and we decided not to. You're needed. There are open positions everywhere in the kingdom. And my challenge to you today is, how will you serve in the kingdom today? And with that, I would turn it over to Jake. And thank you for being here. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.